Hello, and thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Well, tonight we're going to talk about God finding God's will for your life, and one of those areas has to do with timing. Timing is very, very important in finding God's will for your life. Let me start you off with a little story. Someone gave this to me the other day. I thought it was cute. It was the first day of school, and the teacher was trying to get some information from every student about their family. The teacher asked little Johnny, she says, what's your father's occupation? He's a magician, said Johnny. Well, how interesting. What's his favorite trick? The teacher asked, and he said, my dad's favorite trick is he saws people in half. He saws people in half. Wow, that's interesting. Now, for my next question to find out more about your family, do you have any brothers or sisters? One half brother and two half sisters. You'll catch up to that later. All right. I read this quote this morning, and I just wrote it in my notes. I thought it was really appropriate for this. I thought this quote says, because God is good, your life will not turn out like you planned. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Who's the good man? We are. If we're born again, we're made righteous and God calls us good. We are good. God made us good. And it's important that you understand that. But this scripture, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, does not mean that God's going to order your steps like a robot and you won't have any say-so over them. You'll be where he wants you to be no matter what. No, no. God's will is like a large parking lot. And you get to choose with a great amount of freedom where you're going to park. If the space is not already taken, you could try to park there. If there's a pretty woman you see, gentlemen, and you say, I want her to be my wife, if the car's not already parked there, then you can go after her. You can try. But if she's already married, you can't park there. Are you with me? This is like understanding God's will. It's a large parking lot. We have a lot of freedom to choose where we're going to go, what we're going to do. And so if the space is open, you have the freedom to choose that in that particular area of your life. Now, I want us to look at a particular scripture that has great truth in it that we need to grasp tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I'd like you to say it with me. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor food to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. Read that underlined part with me once again. But time and chance happen to them all. The word happen there is a very important Hebrew word. It's the word kora. The word happen, next slide, happen is the word kora. And that means that there's a meeting taking place that wasn't prearranged by you or our doing. In other words, it's a divine appointment. It's God's timing, God causing you to be at the right place at the right time. Have you ever had that happen to you? Sure you have, many times. And we often will say, well, it just so happened that I met so-and-so here. It just so happened that my car broke down right there in front of a garage. It just so happens, kind of the way we say things. But You know, there's no coincidence with a child of God. There's God incidences. And those times that we say it just so happened, we can look, usually not then, but later on, and see how God was arranging things in our life. For example, a couple examples. King Saul, before he became King Saul, he was just a farm boy. And God told Samuel the prophet to go anoint a certain man king, and he would know when he came upon him who the Lord wanted him to anoint to be the first king of Israel. So Saul is out on an errand by his father. His father sent him out to find two lost donkeys. He's looking for lost donkeys. And it just so happened that he crossed his path with prophet Samuel. And when Samuel saw him, the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him to be the king of Israel." Here's a guy that's out walking around looking for lost donkeys. He's not looking for his destiny. And God anoints him king. Another example. King David, when he was a little boy before he was king, he was sent on a normal errand by his father. His brothers were fighting the Philistines. They were in the army, and they were fighting the Philistines at the Valley of Elah. His father, concerned about his brothers, sent young David to the battle camp where his brothers would be, bringing them some bread and cheese and some supplies. So he gets there. He sees what's going on, that this big mouth Goliath is over here taunting the people of God. No one's standing up to him. And the anger rose up inside him. And of course, you know the rest of the story. He conquers Goliath and becomes a national hero. One guy was out looking for lost donkeys. Quora happened. One guy was just bringing some bread and cheese. Quora happened. I'm just trying to get you to see something that many times finding God's will is just as you're going about your life. See, that's why I'm trying to encourage you to keep your ammo. These little cards. And just go up to somebody and say, "I'd like to give you an invitation to this a really good church." And most of the time they'll say, 100% of the time I've had everybody say thank you. I've not had anybody say, "I hate you, what you're doing. Get out of here." Never had that happen. And then if you want to be a little more bold, you can give them a gospel track as well. But you just give them an invitation to church. Now, why am I trying to get you to do this? Because many of you will find a Quora when you do that. A divine happening. God will open up a door. You'll be surprised. I had one lady that I gave a card to. She just welled up with tears. And she said, "Thank you, mister. You have no idea what this means to me. I needed to hear that from somebody today." And I said, "Fine." And I found out that her husband had just died a week or two ago. And it opened up the door. She talked some more. We chatted. And I got to pray with her and minister to her. And she's a Christian lady, but I got to minister to her. But I never would have had that door open if I hadn't given her a card. What I'm trying to encourage you to do, folks, is do this. Take these cards. You may have a divine appointment waiting for you, but you'll never know unless you try. And so you do this, and these guys are just kind of going about their business. You usually don't recognize a Quora, a divine appointment from God, until later. And usually don't see the whole plan of God, that He's working in your life on a daily basis. He's trying to get you somewhere. He's trying to mature you. He's trying to get you encouraged and give you boldness. He's trying to help you fulfill His will. Yet you don't see all the whole plan of God. You can ask God, "God, show me your will." He's not going to reveal the whole will of God to you. You're only going to see a part of it here and there. Just like they say that when we see a rainbow, we only see part of a rainbow. But I'm told that if you were above, like in an airplane or something, that you can see a rainbow is not a half circle, but it's a whole circle. How many of you have heard that before? A rainbow is actually a full circle, but because of where you are down on the ground, you only see half of it. It's the reflection, of course, of moisture and so forth, and sunlight hitting the moisture in the atmosphere. But a rainbow is actually a full circle. And just like that, you don't see a whole rainbow circle. You only see part of it. You only see part of God's plan for your life. You don't see the whole thing. And so that's why it's so important to keep a grateful attitude, a thankful attitude. When anything goes on in your life, even if you have to thank God by faith sometimes when things happen that may be a disappointment or interruptions happen and you weren't expecting that to interrupt your day or your plans to go somewhere. And all of a sudden a storm cloud comes up. You can't go to the beach or you can't go fishing. We need to learn to give God thanks by faith. By faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I trust you, God. I only see a part of your plans, God. You might have been protecting me today from a disaster. You might be arranging for me to meet somebody here that I need to talk to or be available to minister to. You know, Jesus is a great example of that. He never got frustrated when he had interruptions. People even interrupt his preaching. He never got upset about it. He just went with that and ministered at that particular moment. One time, a man asked him, said, "Would you come to my house? My little girl is dying, and she's on her deathbed. And I know if you'll come, she'll be well." And Jesus said, "Well, sure, I'll go with you." And he started to make his way to this man's house took a few steps. And remember, he's on an urgent mission. And next thing you know, there's a lady there who interrupts him. She says, excuse me. She didn't say excuse me, but she touched the hem of his garment and stopped him. And he said, "Who touched me?" And of course, you know, she got healed. But what I'm trying to point out to you is that Jesus never got frustrated with interruptions. He looked at interruptions different than we do. Somebody said this, and I love this quote. "I used to complain about all the interruptions to my work until I realized these interruptions were my work." You'll live in a great sense of rest and peace if you'll not get frustrated over the next time rain clouds come and ruin your trip, or somebody comes into your life or makes a phone call to you that you weren't expecting and maybe interrupted your plans. We'll be able to stay in a place of rest when we really believe that our interruptions are our work. And just like Jesus, just kind of go with it. Just realize God's got a plan. God's ordaining my steps. And I want to give you a great example of this. And I'd encourage you tonight when you go home to read Genesis 24. Genesis 24. And here, I'll just give you a summary of it, but it'd be good for you to read it for more detail. Here's the story. I want to set it up. Abraham, the father, has his son Isaac, and Isaac's a grown man now and wants a wife. Abraham wants his son to have a wife. So Abraham represents God the Father in this story. Isaac, his son, represents the Son, or Jesus. There's an unnamed servant here in this chapter that belongs to Abraham. And Abraham tells this unnamed servant to go to a certain place and find a wife for his son. And the unnamed servant represents the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know Rebecca turned out to be the bride of Isaac. And Rebecca represents the church. Now, let me try to put this all together for you. In Genesis 24, the unnamed servant who represents the Holy Spirit obeyed the Father. He goes on a mission. He's got to find a wife that's suitable for his son Isaac. So he takes all of his camels and all of his supplies, goes on a long journey. He comes to a city that's there, and that's the area, the region that Abraham sent him. And he has the camels kneel down outside by a well. And then he prays a prayer. Oh Lord, help me be successful in this. Let it be clear that the woman who comes out, that a young woman will come out, that she'll be the one that I'll know is supposed to be the bride to my master Abraham's son Isaac. And so when I say to her, please give me a drink of water, that she'll say to me, I'll not only give you a drink of water, but I'll water your camels too, which would have been a big task. And it says in Genesis 24, verse 17, before he had finished speaking, before he had finished praise, talking to God, before he'd finished, Rebekah comes out. Now, he didn't know if it's her or not yet. He just prayed. But she comes out and he asks her, would you get me a drink of that water? And she says, sure. She gives him a drink of water. He's waiting. He's watching. A little time later, she says, you want me to water your camels too? Just like he prayed. And then the scripture says the man was gazing at her. He remained silent, trying to discern whether the Lord had made his journey a success or not. Now, what did he just ask God? Now, God, let the woman come out. If I say, give me a drink, she'll tell me, let me water your camels also, which would be a very unusual thing. And she just did that. Now he is remaining silent, trying to discern whether or not the Lord's journey was a success or not. This is a quora. This is God arranging, God putting together circumstances and people at the right time, at the right place. A divine appointment. Now, when you give these cards out, and I stress that you need to do this, you may have a divine appointment that will knock your socks off by just inviting somebody to church. How many of you have had an opportunity this week where you've already given some of these cards out and you've invited someone to church? Raise your hands. Thank you. Thank you. The rest of you, you got ammo waiting for you right back there. On the way out, be sure you go out loaded. Okay, take these little cards with you and ask God to give you a divine appointment this week. It's as simple as that. It's not hard, folks. Everybody can do this. Everybody should be doing this. Every step of the journey is the journey. Even when we have delays, even when we have interruptions in our life, God is crossing our path with people on a daily basis that he wants us to minister to, but he'll never force us. He'll just give us opportunity. How are you going to know what is God's will for your life? The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do you believe that? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So we find the will of God from the word of God. Now, hang on with me. If you have to pray to find out if it's God's will for you to invite a stranger to church, you haven't read the Word of God. Amen or oh me. If it's oh me, then repent and start doing what you know God's will is. If you want to find out God's will for some other area of your life, start doing what you know is God's will for your life on a daily basis. How do we know God wants us to invite people to church? The word says, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be full. It's not God's will that we have a Wednesday night crowd. I'm thankful that you're here, but it's not God's will that this would be all there is. It's not God's will. And there are people you will come in contact with. You may invite them. They may never come. You may have to invite 100 people before one comes. But it's like fishing. How many times do you have to cast before you catch fish? About a million. Well, it's the same thing. We're fishing for souls. We're fishing for people, you see. And so you already know God's will about a lot of areas of your life. Yeah, your pastor's trying to encourage you to do what you know is God's will now. And if you'll do it, that's one step in toward finding the rest of God's will for your life. Here's what the scripture says, Ephesians 5:17. See that you walk carefully, not as fools, but as wise men, making the most of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Sometimes it takes some understanding first before we can understand a more complicated situation of what God's will is. Jesus said this, John 16:12, I have many things to tell you, but what? I can't hear you. There are some things that you can't bear because you're not ready. There are some things you've been asking God, Lord, what's your will concerning this or that? And God can't tell you because you're not ready. And there may be several reasons for you not being ready. Maybe your attitude's not ready. Maybe your mind is not right. Maybe you wouldn't be able to receive God's will. If he told you something, you wouldn't recognize that that would be God's will. Maybe you, sometimes we still have the world's priorities and the world's values instead of God's. And so if God made his will known to us, we wouldn't believe it. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and perfect will of God. You and I, our lives are to prove to people what the will of God is. Am I talking to myself tonight? Are you with me? Yeah. No, our life. But we are not to be conformed to this world. And the world every day is pressing us more and more into its mold, or trying to, through the media, through the movies, through the television, through the songs, through the world, through people, through friends. It's trying to press us into the world's mold. And God says, you're going to have to renew your mind to keep from becoming like the world. You're going to have to spend time with God. You're going to have to make it a daily discipline in your life that you spend time with the Word. And it's going to have to be a priority because you love God. And if you love Him, you'll want to spend time with Him. The world has values and priorities that are not in agreement with God. 1 John says, love not this world, neither the things in it. For any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You got to be very careful that you do not let the things or the love of this world crowd your life and try to conform you to be like it, because that is so contrary to God's values and God's ways. And one of the ways God will lead us is by having a relationship with Him in such a way that He will place His desires in us. He'll put His desires in us. But first, we have to do something. Do you know that you were created for God's pleasure? Say yes, because it's true. You were created for God's pleasure. You were designed to have a relationship with God. You were designed that way. You're created for that. You have the capacity to hear God. You have the capacity to know God. And anything short of your number one priority being the relationship with God is pure emptiness. Here's the thing that God expects of us. Psalm 37, delight yourself. Delight yourself. Get yourself delighted in the Lord. Fall in love with the Lord. Don't just read about the Lord. Know the Lord. Experience the Lord. Encounter the Lord. Taste and see the Lord is good. Delight yourself in Him. Get excited. If there's anything that gets you motivated, let it be the things of knowing the Lord. You're out of your relationship with Him. You find your delight. You find your purpose. I wonder how many people in the church actually do that. One of the ways that God leads us is by the desires of our heart. If we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, God says He'll give you the desires of your heart. Not your wish list, but it means that when you're in alignment with God, when you're in alignment with His priorities, when you're doing what you know God wants you to do, it is God's pleasure to give you the desires of your heart because your heart's changing to be like His. You have His values. You have His priorities. You know how important it is to get the gospel out. You know how important it is to invite people to church. You know how important that is. God wants His house full. He wants His house full. He wants people to hear the gospel. He wants people to experience a born-again relationship with God. But it's not natural on your own. We need to make sure that we're delighting in Him first. We put Him first. It's intentional. If God's not our first love, then we can't depend on the desire of our heart. If God's not my first love, I can't trust the desires of my heart. I have to be delighting in Him first, you see. He's where I get my meaning from, my purpose, my pleasure. And out of that, then my desires are trustworthy enough where He said He'll give them to me. The desires that God's placed deep inside you, that He's placed there like a dream to accomplish something or a dream to do something. The only way you're going to be able to find out, are those desires from God or are they my desires? The only way you're going to find out is if you put God first in your relationship. If He's not absolutely first in your relationship, then you can't trust your desires. You don't know, even though it's something that may sound good, you can't trust that. If you get bored with your life, you are not in God's will. I'm going to say that again. If you get bored with your life, you are not finding and fulfilling God's will for your life. Our lives are here to make a difference. That's why we're here. We're here to make a difference. No one says on their deathbed, man, I wished I'd have worked harder on my golf swing. Oh, I wished I had more diamonds. Nobody says that. What people say on their deathbed, if they have the opportunity, is, I wish I'd have made a bigger impact on people. I wish I'd have been more bold about my faith. I wish I'd have told my family the truth about the gospel. That's what they say. You know, you were meant to know the joy of feeling like your life is making a difference. You were meant, you're built, designed to know the joy that your life is making a difference in somebody else's life. Now, sometimes that may require some risk. Sometimes it's not much of a risk. But for example, to be in God's will, there are times you're going to have to take some risk. And sometimes it's not so much of a risk. Like, for example, we often think that when Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, he was taking a risk to some degree. But remember, the scripture says the boat was filled with water. Are you with me? So the boat was sinking. It's almost dumb not to get out and try to walk on the water. The boat was full of water. It's going down. And Peter asked the Lord, if it's you, Lord, let me walk on the water. He says, come on. The others could have done that too. So what I'm trying to tell you is that sometimes in finding God's will is there's a risk involved. But sometimes it's not really much of a risk because you don't have a lot of options. What are you going to do? And sometimes there are more serious risks that you need to move slowly in discerning what God's will is. For, you know, you just start doing something that is a desire in your heart, but you might need to move slowly toward that. So time and timing and preparation is very, very, very important. And so I want us to look at a couple of things here quickly. I'm asking God for some direction in my next step of obedience in my own life. And I haven't got anything that I would say was a direct word from God that I would know what to do in taking that next step. But I believe there is a time. Timing is important with God. Sometimes God doesn't reveal something to us because it's not time for us to know that yet. And so what do you do when you're seeking God about His will, a next step in your life, and something that you are thinking that maybe God would have you do? What I'm doing is I'm asking God to examine my heart. I'm asking Him to show me what needs to change in my heart so it fits in agreement and alignment with Him. I don't want anything in my heart that would not be in agreement with Him so that I couldn't trust my heart. Are you with me? Okay. Second thing, I'm going to have to trust God. That may sound really stupid to say from a preacher in a church, but I have to really trust God myself. And the Lord will reveal to you whether or not you really trust Him. Romans 8:32 says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" In other words, if God gave us His Son Jesus, can't we trust Him with other things? Certainly we can. And so I have to ask myself, do I trust God? And then search my heart for the answer. And you know, sometimes the answer has been no, because I wanted security in material things more than trust in Him. And that was something just God had to deal with me on several occasions. When we went off to get out of the Marine Corps, that was a step. I didn't know I was going into the ministry, but got out of the Marine Corps in my 4 years. It felt like the Lord said, go get some education, so got out. But it wasn't ministry. See, it was just revealed a step at a time. And then going to Bible college didn't make any financial sense whatsoever because I didn't have enough money. It didn't make any sense on paper. And yet just a real strong urging in my heart to just start going, start moving. And I took one step, and then we found out about some grants and found some scholarships, and it all came together. And then one time in my first day signing up in Bible college, standing in line with the registrar there, you signed up for all your classes and got all your books, and you're waiting in line, and you come down to a cash register, and they're expecting full payment. And Pam was there with me because she was going to Bible college with me. And she saw the cash register, and I didn't know we were going to have to pay today. I didn't know how all that worked. And she said, well, I'll step out. We have enough money to cover you. I'll step out and not go because we're here for you to go. And I said, no, you stay right here because I believe you're supposed to go with me. And so we stepped up with fear and trembling and sweat pouring out all over us to the registrar, and they're doing all this cash register stuff, and every time they'd key in stuff, I'd get more nervous. And then they said, well, your total is going to be such and such and such and such, and I knew we didn't have it. And I didn't say anything. I'd probably look like a total moron. And then the lady said, what's your name again? I said, Washburn. She said, oh, wait a minute. And she took some papers, she looked over here, said, oh, yeah, you got the Florida scholarship here, you got this and that. And, oh, yeah, let me do some more calculator. There she goes, comes back. She said, oh, you're going to get a refund of $800 and something. But what would have happened if we hadn't taken the risk? I mean, what's the worst thing could happen? They said, well, I guess you can't go to school. Get out of line. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that if you believe God wants you to take a step, take a risk, then it ain't going to be easy in the flesh. But you can trust God. But here's the place where we're going with trust in the will of God. We want to not just trust God, but we want to get to the place where we trust God so much we rest in God. We rest in God. We trust Him so much. He's been so faithful. He's always come through for me. He's always healed me. He's always provided for me. He's always protected me. He's always gotten me out of trouble and problems that I didn't have any idea how I was going to get out of. He's always done that. And because of that, I now trust Him to the place where I rest in Him. The fact is, when I worry, I'm not trusting and I'm not resting. But when I wait patiently for Him, I wait for His timing. I wait for Him to work however and whenever in ways He hasn't told me He's going to do it, but I wait patiently. Then He aligns circumstances. He brings people into your life. He brings the right repairman to fix your car. He brings the right things, the right neighbors, the right acquaintances. He brings things together into a timing that we call in the Hebrew a kora, a divine orchestration that you didn't see it at that moment, but now you look back and you tell people about these testimonies you've had with God's faithfulness. You tell people over and over again how God provided for you when you didn't know how in the world you were going to do it. How God raised you up from a sick bed. How God healed your body when you had a heart transplant. And how God has done this and that. Because now you got some time with God and you see He's faithful. Does that make any sense to you? Well, this week, I'll guarantee you, God has a quora waiting for you. But you could miss it. You could miss it. It ain't going to just happen. It happens as you're trusting, as you're believing, you're going about your business, going about your life. But you've committed your day at the beginning of the day. You commit it to God. Lord, get me in the right place at the right time. Give me the boldness to speak of You where I need to speak of You, to testify of You, to minister for You. Just get me in the right place at the right time. And you know what I found? If you ask Him to do that, He'll do it. And then don't get aggravated when a storm ruins your plans or and interruptions come, because it could be that God's working through the interruption to get you someplace or have you stay someplace you need to stay. Does anybody have any witness to that in your spirit or in your life? Okay, let's stand up. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You for the fact that You're way ahead of us. And thank You for these faithful people on Wednesday night. Pray You encourage their heart. And Lord, I pray for each one. I pray that Your Holy Spirit will encourage them to be bold enough to invite someone to church this week. Even if they don't come with them, let them have the joy of knowing that You're speaking through their voice. You're using their hands. You're using their face to love somebody else towards You. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say amen. Amen. All right, folks. God bless you. Good night. Prayer tomorrow morning at 6:30. If you can make it here, you're more than welcome. 6:30.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.